From that video, you heard an international news report from Madagascar in 2013 of locusts destroying so much of the crops. And then you had Sir David Attenborough from the BBC making the locust swarm sound all quaint with his British accent. And then in there at the end was a clip of the 1983 song by Echo and the Bunnymen called The Cutter. And I don't really know what that song is all about, but it sounds like this urgent cry for help. Spare us the cutter. And the cutter is one of those words that Joel, the prophet, uses to describe the swarm of locusts that God sent upon his people. Joel talks about the locust, the cutter, the hopper, the destroyer. And that song, spare us the cutter, it sounds like the words of a person crying out, God, spare us from judgment. And indeed, if you want to look at the words of Joel tonight, they could be an answer to such a cry, such a prayer. You see, God had sent his army of locusts to destroy the fields and vegetation in Israel. And it was a consequence of their sin. The people of Israel were once again turning away from the true God, and he had sent judgment in the form of the locusts. Now, whether this was really a plague of locusts and or the prophet's way of speaking metaphorically about an invading army, either way, the consequence is the same. The people of Israel were facing destruction and famine, poverty, fighting over whatever remained. It means in this scene, it means much more than no Thanksgiving feast. It's something much, much worse than that. Joel the prophet, sent by the Lord, is sent to deliver this message that was destruction of the earth, threat to daily existence, condemnation of sin. And it was a message that reaches into every corner of life, just like a swarm of locusts. And there may be few among us tonight who have experienced something this dire, this desperate, something like the after effects of war or a natural disaster, generational poverty or prison. But likely, even to be poor in America doesn't quite match what Joel is describing. It's an entire country brought to destruction and famine, like the Madagascar, where they said already a half of the crops of the island had been destroyed. It's an entire country brought to destruction and famine, entire people under the wrath of God. That's what Joel the prophet is sent to speak. So that even the faithful ones to God, in the midst of all the people who have turned away from God, even the faithful ones will be having difficulty still believing in the Lord. Perhaps it's best to compare it to some of the worst-case scenarios that we're hearing about global warming, that it's catastrophic, it'll be cataclysmic. It's so far-reaching that your ideas of safety nets would all be gone. No red cross showing up in Joel's image of God's destruction. But not only that, it's not just this natural destruction, it also comes with acknowledging our sin, the part we played in such a disaster. So if we can put ourselves into that situation, perhaps then we can imagine the immensity of thanksgiving when hearing God's announcement of rescue and salvation. You see, until we've gotten to that place of just utter destruction and utter chaos and desperation, maybe we haven't really realized what it means to be thankful in the words of the prophet Joel. Until we have cried out from the deepest places of our hearts, spare us the cutter. And then the Lord, Joel chapter 2, declares this hope. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. First, the prophet declares that there's hope for the land. And then he says, fear not, you beasts of the fields, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit. The fig tree and vine will give their full yield, so that there's hope for animals. The land is growing again, and there will be food for you. And then he says, be glad, O children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain, and he has poured down for you abundant rain. The early and the latter rain as before, the threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. It's this hope for the people that they could not have imagined ever having again. And then it comes to our focus verse. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. God is promising to restore. They have known the destruction. They have known the condemnation. They have known the judgment. And now here God is coming with this message of restoration. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The people will be spared and saved from God's wrath. He says, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there is no one else. And my people will never again be put to shame. The people are redeemed, are saved. To grasp the depth of such far-reaching good news, I think our Thanksgiving thankfulness needs to go beyond the usual pleasantries. Thankful that the wind is about to die out, right? I mean, it needs to go beyond all this. It needs to tap into those times when you have wept over the chaos, have wept over the distress in the world, remembering that even when there's no clear cause, still this world is broken because of our sin. To know the depth of thanksgiving is the first to know the depth of weeping over this. So we weep over the land. There are plenty of causes to weep over the land. I was just hiking a couple weeks ago with Doug Mulley, and we were up in the Kettle Moraine State Forest, and you get to this place where there was a beautiful oak forest, but a destructive tornado had come through, and just the immensity of the destruction of all these trees, just as far as you can see up and down hills, just the strength of what that destruction must have been. There's a sense of weeping over the land. Or there's the times when we weep over animals. This past summer, we were at Pawleys Island in South Carolina, and they're having to do all this work to protect the loggerhead sea turtles and do all this work because the turtles are dying out and the moms come up on the beach and they lay their eggs and then they get confused on where to go or the eggs don't survive. They have to do all this work because there's so much chaos in their lives. Or we weep over the people. We weep over people in this world who face so much. I just saw in the paper a picture of Ukraine and Russia, and seeing the soldiers there and realizing it looks exactly like World War I. They're in muddy trenches, having this trench warfare, and you realize we haven't come anywhere. And so all these opportunities, all these ways in which we may weep over the chaos and destruction in the world, it's a way of going beneath the surface so that we also can see what it means to be thankful, that we can have this thankfulness on Thanksgiving, thankfulness that God says, I will restore to you. I have seen the destruction. I have seen the chaos in the world. I have seen it according against the land and the animals and the people, and yet I promise there will be restoration in my Son, Jesus. There's the going beneath the surface and to know our own sinfulness and yet to know that we are forgiven and healed by the Lord. Through Jesus, we are restored and redeemed. We're given the promise to live with Him forever in a healed world. To know thankfulness means to stand and weep over our sin and to see how much He has redeemed us. Back to the song, Spare Us the Cutter. Like I said, it's 1983. It's a wonderful song. It's a weird song. It's a wonderful song. And it could be this prayer, spare us the cutter, like rescue us. But it could also be this prayer that says, don't bring the cutter. Don't bring judgment. Don't make me see my own sin. Spare us the prophet's harsh words. Spare us from Jesus who calls out our sin. And in fact, the songwriter, Ian McCullough, came up with lots of reasons for why he wrote the song, but listen to this one. He says, the cutter is a person who's got a job to do, an important job of cutting out all the junk in the world. I think there should be a person who cuts away all the junk in the world, but the spare us the cutter bit, that's the majority of people who don't want this person because they don't want what's good for them generally. Somebody like the cutter would be good for them, but they wouldn't be able to cope with it. But I believe there should be a cutter. In other words, he's saying the cutter is the prophet. The cutter is God coming in his judgment. The cutter would be good for them. The cutter would be good for us. Jesus, who came announcing judgment on sin, although we'd rather have the happy, hippie, loving Jesus. But no, Jesus came and he wept over us. He wept over how we are destroyed by sin, and yet he also knew that after the cutter came the hope of restoration, came this hope that the years would be restored, that God would do this work of restoration and forgiving and healing and salvation. And so that we know the depths of weeping and the depths of chaos and destruction, now we also know the depth Thanksgiving, the depth of thanksgiving for the land, the animals, the people, ourselves, so that we can see what it means when God says there towards the end of our passage from Joel, you shall know that I am in your midst, that I am the Lord your God and there is no other, and you, my people, shall never again be put to shame. He probably came wanting a happy sermon about a happy Thanksgiving. And yet what I wanted you to hear tonight is the depth of Thanksgiving. The depth that it goes beyond, it goes way below the surface. This goes way below the surface. It's not just, great, the locusts are gone, we'll have a harvest again. It goes way beyond that. This is, thank you, Lord, that you will not always bring destruction. Thank you, Lord, that you will rescue us from chaos. Thank you, Lord, that you will rescue us from our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you sent the cutter to make it so that we realize our sin. But thank you that you will spare us in the end and give us eternal life. The thanksgiving that we can have wells up from that deep place so that we can give true thanksgiving for the depth of how God has come to rescue us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.